turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll read verses 5 through 7 together. I'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church, Lord, for the great spirit that we have here. Lord, though it's the weather's a bit contrary and it's cold and blustery outside, sure is nice to have the warm presence of the Holy Spirit inside. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our lives this morning so we can go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning I'm going to read a story to you. And I can't figure out if this story made me happy or made me sad. You'll figure it out here in just a minute. It's about a lady that went Christmas shopping. Late last week, I was rushing around trying to get some last-minute shopping done. I was stressed out, not thinking very fondly of the Christmas season right then. It was dark, cold, and wet in the parking lot as I was loading my car up with the gifts that I felt obligated to buy. Then I noticed that I was missing a receipt that I might need later. So mumbling under my breath, I retraced my steps to the mall entrance. As I was searching the wet pavement for the lost receipt, I heard a quiet sobbing. The crying was coming from a poorly dressed boy of about 12 years old. He was short and thin. He had no coat. He was just wearing a ragged flannel shirt to protect him from the cold night's chill. Oddly enough, he was holding a $100 bill in his hand. Thinking that he had gotten lost from his parents, I asked him what was wrong. He told me his sad story. He said that he came from a large family. He had 3 brothers and 4 sisters. His mother had died when he was 9 years old. His mother was poorly educated and worked 2 full-time jobs. She made very little to support her large family. Nevertheless, she had managed to skimp and save $200 to buy her children Christmas presents. The young boy had been dropped off by his mother on the way to her second job. He was to use the money to buy presents for all his siblings and save just enough to take the bus home. He had not even entered the mall when an older boy grabbed one of the $100 bills and disappeared into the night. "Well, why didn't you scream for help?" I asked. The boy said, "Well, I did." "And nobody came to your help?" I asked. The boy stared at the sidewalk and sadly shook his head. "How loudly did you scream?" I inquired. The soft-spoken boy looked up and meekly whispered, "Help me." I realized that absolutely no one could have heard that poor boy cry for help, so I grabbed his other 100 and ran for my car. Now, you'll have to decide if it makes you happy or makes you sad. It reminds me, do you remember Brother Nash's song about the eagle? You know, it is one of those that you think, well, that's funny. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. I want to do something this morning, realizing that our crowd would be exactly who God wanted it to be today. Maybe not as large. We were unable to run our buses today for the sake of safety. If you will allow me, I would like to have maybe like a little fireside chat with you today about Christmas. Oh, I have all sorts of sermon outlines. There's no shortage of things that I could preach and say to you today. But I was the other day, I was just sitting and watching the snow, and I wrote down some things, and virtually I was thinking about this thought. I was thinking about what Christmas means to me. What Christmas means to me. Get your Bibles out for a second. I'm going to use a passage of Scripture, the most familiar, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to make some very, very practical observations about the subject of Christmas. I'll promise you this, there are churches everywhere that canceled their services today. I'm glad we're here, and I'm glad that we'll get to hear a little something special about Christmas in this special time. Look back at me for a second. You know, my heart was virtually broken today. Of course, each and every church and business out there will have to make a decision for themselves. You've heard me say, when we have inclement weather, I'm not asking anyone to endanger their life. For those that can be here, we'll have church, and that's our plan. It was that way before I became the pastor here, then we had church. But you know, my heart was virtually broken this morning as I was listening to the radio, and they were reading all the church cancellations. Right at the end, they said, but the Apple Valley Mall and its stores will all be open this morning. And I thought, it's amazing that the businesses will open, the 7-Eleven's open and Food Lion is open, but there will be churches that won't. Now, again, they'll have to do what they see fit, but I saw fit that our church would be open, especially on Christmas morning. Luke chapter 2, let's go to verse number 1, and we're going to read about 14 verses here. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Again, if I can, I would like to kind of have a bit of a fireside chat with all of us today. I was just scribbling some notes to myself about, really and honestly, I was doing it for myself, reminding myself of what Christmas means to me. We see all the commercialism. We see all the hubbub and spending money and all of it. And I hope that none of us will ever forget what this is really all about. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christian behavior. We throw our fits, and we will continue to do so. I don't like it when they call it Xmas instead of Christmas. Oh, they've let the cat out of the bag. We're not trying to mark Christ out of Christmas, not at all, and we shouldn't. They want us to call it a holiday instead of calling it Christmas, and I'm for calling it Christmas. It's all about Christ. We can't let them steal the real meaning of Christmas from us. I like the nativity. I like the songs. I like the fun songs and the serious songs. I like the song, Joy to the World. The Lord is come. He's coming again, by the way. We may get to sing that song as another application, because he came once, but he's coming again. But I got to thinking about what Christmas means to me. And I'm going to tell you about that today. You won't find a lot of deep theology in what I'm going to say, but yet You may. Let me say, first of all, the very first thing that I wrote down when I was thinking about what Christmas means to me, I was reminded of the verse in John 3:16 where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And the very first thing I wrote down about what Christmas means to me is love. Love. You know, if you go to looking at it and you try to figure out, well, what is this really all about? What makes it so special? And isn't there a special spirit about Christmas? Isn't it something? I was standing, and Mrs. Owens and I had the privilege of spending a little bit of time yesterday at the emergency room down in Winchester, Virginia. And while we were there, I was saying to a group of nurses and doctors that were helping us, I said, you know, isn't it amazing that it doesn't matter how old you get, Christmas is still special. It's still special. And we all know that special feeling, and we know that specialness about Christmas. And I don't think anybody could give you all the ingredients that makes it special, but I can guarantee you one thing that I'm sure of. Christmas, it means to me it's a time of love. It's a time of love. It's a time when we love the Savior more like maybe we should. I think it's a time when we ought to love each other more. It is still true that the theme of the Christian life is love. And folks, some of you, you're going to be with family, and I'll mention that in a little while. Why don't you love one of them a little extra? One thing that we've been taught around here and we're constantly trying to teach is loving people and being good to people. But love your family and love your neighbor. Love your enemy. To me, Christmas is a time of love. And I think that Jesus is very, very pleased with that because we know that God is love. And we ought to be loving people and make this a special time. Again, don't get so caught up in the commercialism and everything going on around us that we forget. For God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus. What was it? It was an act of love. And I think if you and I, if we want to do right at Christmas time, let's mimic what God did for us. That was a gift, and that gift was an act of love. And young people, so you know, children, so you know, so many moms and dads give you gifts at Christmas. And I'll promise you something. It's mom and dad's way of saying to you, I love you. I love you. Moms and dads enjoy expressing their love to their children. And I know the kids sometimes, they miss it. But moms and dads, make sure you don't miss it. Make those gifts. Make those expressions of love. And I was sitting there watching the snow come down, and I thought, what does Christmas mean to me? And then immediately I thought of the good memories. I thought of the memories of Christmas past and the good times. I don't know about you. One time a year we have eggnog. And I remember having eggnog. I remember having it with mom and dad. And dad would always sprinkle, I think it's paprika. Is that right? Sprinkle some paprika on top of that stuff, and we would have eggnog. And then I remember this, and when I go to remembering the Christmases when I grew up, I remember this so well. My mother's a very, very happy lady. She's one of the happiest ladies you'll ever meet in your life. But mom was always extra happy at Christmas. And let me tell you why I think that. I hold ladies in very high esteem. I work very hard at protecting the exaltation of women. I don't think women ought to be used. I don't think women ought to be abused. I think there's a purity and a decency and a goodness. God knows where we'd be without women. And that, I mean, it's the moms that teach kids to be good to people, and it's the moms that keep the heart in things. And, you know, dads just go around all the time saying, shuck it up, it was hard. Thank God for moms that come along and say, be kind to your brother, and be gentle, and thank God for that so much. But let me tell you, my mom is a very, very happy lady, but I can remember being delighted at Christmas time because my mom was extra happy. And I remember that. That's a memory for me. I remember Mom having that extra lilt in her step and the excitement about this part of the year. My children, they will remember, and I do this every year. It's just something a long time ago I started doing. I get up Christmas morning and I make donuts. It's the only thing I cook all year long. You say, well, wonder if you're hungry and you're at home and Mrs. Owens isn't there, I'll get a pizza. I just don't cook. And so, or jerky. A man can live off of jerky. For a long time he can live off of jerky. Thank God for jerky, toasters, and microwaves. Amen. But every Christmas morning I get up and I make donuts. And I don't know if they're any good, but they all eat them anyway. And I don't know, maybe they're throwing them at the deer in our backyard trying to kill them with my donuts. I don't know, but I do that. And I know that's a memory for my kids. I also, my kids will probably remember this. Back when they were all younger, we annually took them sledding. Find a big old hill, and we would go sledding. And we just remembered it. And listen, folks, Christmas is supposed to be a sentimental time. I think it's supposed to be that way. You say, how so? Well, you and I, we're to be looking back at what our Heavenly Father did for us in giving us the gift of His Son. Don't you think that that's sentimental? Don't you think it's sentimental looking back to what's been done for us and the experiences? Now, take some time. Take some time with the family and reminisce. There are people in here, your mommy. Your mom, your dad, they're in heaven now. And I know that makes it a little extra lonely, and again, I'll mention that here in a little while, but do this for yourself. Remember. Remember the good times. Remember the blessings. So I was asking myself as I sat there and I watched the snow coming down, and it was a very sentimental time for me. I was writing down. I'm actually using the piece of paper. The way I've outlined this has really nothing to do with a sermon. I mean, I virtually wrote it down, and I thought, when I think of Christmas, I think of love. I think of loving people. Then I think of Christmas. I think of memories and the good memories and the things that God's done for me. Boy, this would be a real good time for you. You say, Brother Owens, I'm going through a tough time. Then look back and look at the good times that God has given you and remember them and remember and cherish them. Then, if I may, to me, Christmas is a romantic time. Husbands and wives, I think Christmas ought to have just a little bit of romance to it. For you. There's nothing like, if you have the availability of a fireplace, there's nothing like just spending a little extra time together and enjoying one another. Each and every year, Mrs. Owens and I always, and we've done this just traditionally, we always have what I would call a bit of a romantic special date right around Christmas. Just go out and remind each other of our love for one another, and we've just always done that. And so to me, Christmas is extra special between a husband and a wife. And I know this. I know you say, but right now things are not good in our marriage. Well, think back and pray that they'll be good again. And I'll tell you something. Hey, those of you that are married, it might be good for you to keep a little romance in your Christmas so you will be celebrating them together for years and years to come. What does Christmas mean to me? Christmas means to me love. Christmas means to me good memories. Christmas means to me a certain romance between a husband and a wife. Number four, Christmas means to me, it reminds me of the importance of children. Children are very, very special. Children are, there's something about the purity and the goodness of a child. And I like Christmas because I think it gives us a chance to be expressive to the children. It gives us a chance to remember the importance of children. And folks, listen, the most valuable commodity we have in America is going to be our little ones and our children. And that's why we have program after program after program around here trying to meet the needs of the children. And we want to teach them to sing and we want to educate them and we want them to have a ball league and we want all those things for them. Why? Because of the importance of children. I'll never forget. One Sunday morning, I was having, they're just challenges in the ministry. And I'll be honest, and it's pretty rare for me, but one Sunday morning I was having a bit of a hard time motivating myself and getting going. You know, 52 weeks out of the year, I come to this pulpit on a Sunday morning and I am just fit to be tied and ready to roll, and I really don't want to take an offering and I don't want to sing, I want to preach, I want to get going. On this particular Sunday morning, I was having a rough day. I was having a rough time getting it going. So it was in between Sunday school and church, and I stepped out here into the hallway, and there was one of our bus kids from down in Winchester, a gal named Mariah. Mariah has had 27 surgeries for her illness, spinal bifida. I think she wrote Brother Leonard's bus route. And when you see Mariah in her wheelchair, they strapped her in her chair and would have to pick her up and pick her wheelchair up to get her into her chair, and her little arms and hands all wadded up in knots, and it just to look at her would break your heart. And I remember that morning I was a little bit down, and I see Mariah out here in the hallway, and with her little crippled hand, Mariah looked at me and she said, "Preach good today, preach." Oh, how could I not? How could I not? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God came to me and said, somebody's dependent on you to do your best this morning. You need to get your chin up. Get out there and preach the Word of God and make a difference in somebody's life. There's just something about Christmas and the children. And I'm glad. I'm glad of that. Oh, Jesus said, don't stop the children from coming unto me. I think the hardest part about this morning for me is the fact we couldn't run the buses. Man, there'd be a bunch of bus kids that won't have a Christmas morning service. And we wanted to. We just knew we couldn't for their safety. We couldn't do it. But you don't understand. There are all sorts of little bus kids that if we don't make Christmas what it's supposed to be for them, it won't be what it's supposed to be. They won't hear about Jesus. They won't have somebody say to them, "I love you." And some of those little Christmas parties that would have been conducted in all our 72 Sunday school classes would have been the only Christmas parties that would have truly been about Jesus. It would have been little birthday parties for Jesus with the children. And I think the only sad part about the day, those couple hundred, 300 bus kids that could have come that couldn't. But I just was sitting there as the snow came down, and I asked myself, "Jeff, what does Christmas mean to you?" I wrote down the word love. I wrote down the word memories. I wrote down the word romance. I wrote down the word children. And then, of course, I wrote down the word giving. Yeah, folks, I understand something. I understand the desire of a Christian to give. I'll get up here in weeks to come, and I am going to clean your clock about overspending at Christmas. But just so you know, it doesn't matter what I say. You're going to do it anyway. I'm going to tell you, don't do it. And there are those that feel a certain obligation, but I'm not talking about the obligation. I'm talking about the fact that you're good people. And you love your kids, and you love your families, and you love your Sunday school classes, and you love your bus kids, and we give, and we give, and we give. And yeah, we're going to pay for it in through January and February when that stupid credit card bill comes, and don't do that, but I understand. I'm out there running around and I'm trying to run errands and do church business, and I see something, I say, "I'm buying that for so-and-so." Next thing you know, I've got the back seat of my truck full of stuff that I'm buying for so-and-so, and I'm thinking, "I can't afford to do this." And I say the same thing you do, "I will figure it out later. I want to give this to them. They'll enjoy it. They'll like it." And I guess I'm saying I understand. If you're good people, and you are, you like to give. And I suppose it's worth all the extra counseling appointments, and I'll try to help you save your house here in a few months so that you don't lose it. We'll figure out a way. But God knows I understand. Because Christmas, we just kind of cut loose and we give. And that's what Christians do. That's what Christians do. And folks, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. I want us to be like that. I want us to give. I want us to meet the needs of others. I want that. Again, just meditations of your pastor. As the snow was coming down, I had another very deep theological sermon ready for this morning, but somehow felt like I just want to share my heart with you for a little while. When I think of Christmas, I think of love. And when I think of Christmas, I think of memories. When I think of Christmas, I think of the romance of Christmas and then the importance of children and giving. And then on my list, I wrote down the word Jesus. Oh my. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got him on my mind. Let's not ignore him at this time of year. There's so many that they use the term Jesus or Christ in a cursing way. Let that never come forth from our lips. When people sing and when we sing about Jesus, something ought to thrill your soul. Something ought to happen down inside you. Keep before your children, keep before your family the name Jesus and the name Christ. And don't let the fat guy in the red suit ever take the place of Jesus Christ. There's only one who knows what you are thinking. There's only one that knows whether you've been naughty or nice. There's only one that could be everywhere in one night. That's Jesus. That's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got him on my mind. I look forward to the day when we get to heaven. And we shall see him as he is. I was thinking it wasn't many months ago. I did the funeral for Brother Roger Korbeiser. I remember when Roger was passing away, I was with him just minutes before he passed away. And I remember asking him, I said, Roger, will you do me a favor? When you get to heaven, he said, I would, preacher. He said, when you get to heaven, will you tell Jesus that I love him? He said, I'll do it. Wasn't but an hour or so later, he went to heaven. And heaven sees a real place. And there's no doubt in my mind, he did the best he knew how when he got there. He headed for the throne of Jesus. Say why? He'd promised me. He's going to tell Jesus that I love him. To me, folks, it would be a very, very sad thing for us to celebrate his birthday without at least telling him once, Jesus, I love you. You know what? That's what this season is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved us. You know, we get to hear a lot about the love of God. But I worry that he doesn't get too much love back. Won't you do yourself a favor and do your Christmas season a favor? Won't you clear your mind and clear your life just long enough to look toward heaven and say this? Say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. And I'm going to remember Jesus at this time of year. I'm just about done. Stay with me for a couple of more minutes, if you will. When I think of this time of the year and what does it mean to me, I think of love. I think of memories. I think of the romance. I think of the children and giving and Jesus. To me, this also is a wonderful teaching time. There are people that will come to church. Now, normally, on a Christmas morning, you have those folks that will show up, but they're not much interested in God the rest of the year. But I'm glad. I don't want to chase all of them off. I'm glad that they finally come. There are many people in this church who were reached on a Christmas or Easter service where they just came because they thought it was the religious thing to do. But this is a teaching time. Folks, we can teach our children proper giving at this time. We could teach our children about needy people at this time, sharing at this time. We can teach our children how to receive gifts with satisfaction and appreciation and gratitude. We can teach our children the lessons of Jesus Christ. We can teach our children proper use of their money, and even there's a certain amount of teaching that could go on about separating ourselves from the world and the world's practices. Because the world does not celebrate Christmas like you and I would, nor does the world celebrate Christmas like the Bible would teach. But I think this is a wonderful teaching time, and I think we ought to use it for that. And of course, you couldn't get out of this part of the year without thinking about family. Family is so important to us. Christmas time is a time for family. Family get-togethers. And, I know this. I realize that sometimes you say, I'll tell you what, Brother Lawrence, you get together with my family, they'll talk about Jesus, all right, but it won't be good. There are some of you, you'll go to family and you'll struggle with them. It's not peaceful. It's not what you wish. Then can I recommend something? With your little family unit, you give your family and you give your spouse and you give your children good memories of Christmas. You have your time together and make it sweet. And hey, you whatever it is that you'll do, you have your eggnog or you make your donuts or you sing your Christmas songs together. Look, you say, well, when I grew up, it was just fussing and fighting at home. Okay, then you give your family different memories. You give them those traditional sweet things about Christmas that they'll always remember. But yet there are those here, you say, well, when our family gets together, it's big. It's a big deal at Christmas time. Then let it be. Enjoy one another. You mamas, if you got all the kids and they're home for Christmas, thank God for it. Just thank God for it. Enjoy it as a family and enjoy the get some family time. Those of you that can, maybe with your immediate family, I always recommend that you maybe take the time to read Luke chapter 2 and the Christmas story. But enjoy Christmas together as a family. I'm reminded when I think of Christmas of love, memories, the romance, the children, giving, Jesus, the teaching of the season. I'm reminded of family. And then I wrote this down. I wrote down that Christmas time for some is a very tough time. And I never want to forget that. And I don't want you to forget it. There are those in our congregation that this will be their first Christmas. Because a husband or a wife has passed away, this will be their first Christmas alone. And while we enjoy our spouses or we enjoy our children, there will be those who will have empty seats at Christmas dinner because somebody has passed on. Might I say also, there are some. I mentioned romance earlier. And there are some here who have gone through heartbreaking divorces. And you can think what you want, but you've heard me say it before and I'll say it again. Divorced people are not second-class citizens to me. I don't want anybody to go through that. And I want you to get married and I want you to stay married and everybody knows how I feel about it. But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that's ever been through that kind of a heartache, their hearts are broken. And there were some who will not celebrate Christmas with their husband or with their wife. Maybe because of death, maybe because of the tragedy of divorce. That distance, there are some who have young men or young ladies that are off in the military and they won't get to be with them at Christmas. There are some who won't open gifts because they have no money. And I never want to forget that there are some who truly will struggle at this Christmas time. To those of you who have lost a husband or lost a wife, and even some that have lost children, and this time you're always reminded of that heartache, let me tell you, first of all, the Holy Spirit of God wants to comfort you. Let me tell you that your church loves you and that your pastor loves you. And I will take time on Christmas Day to think about those who maybe had a relative that's passed on. And I know it'll be tough, but you just keep going. Your God loves you. Those of you that won't be with your children, those of you that won't be with a husband or wife, those of you that say, the romance part of it, Brother Owens, it's not a possibility. My mate's gone. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus still wants Christmas to be special to you too. You snuggle up close to Him. And I think the last thing that I wrote down, and then we're going to be done, is this. I wrote down the thought that Christmas reminds me, and what it means to me, it reminds me of salvation. I'm glad I'm saved. If Jesus would not have come, born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years, you and I wouldn't have the privilege of having a resurrected Savior. If we're saved today, folks, let's not miss it. The great gift to us from God was a package deal. He sent His Son, born of a virgin, a perfect Son, that they crucified, that rose from the grave, that made salvation available to us. I mean, remind you, if you say, "Preacher, I didn't get one gift this year." If you have salvation, really and honestly, if we have salvation, we really have everything we need. We have everything we need, because that's better than all the monetary gifts that this world could offer. We are born again, saved by the Christ child. I was just sitting there watching the snow come down. I wrote these words down: love, memories, romance, children, giving, Jesus, teaching, family, heartache, and salvation. And I thought, that's it. That's just what Christmas means to me. Probably couldn't have done this had we not had a snowstorm. I think you'll be patient with me and understand. I just wanted us to be appropriately reminded of what Christmas is. You could probably add a few things to